him. Thanks, Linda. Thanks, Linda. It was beautiful. And thanks to Kieran and Stan and to Paul and Extensia and everyone for listening. I'm going to read this poem. It is about one of the most appalling hangovers I ever had. And I basically sort of, you read the back of a cornflakes box, so I just read the back of the offending alcohol, and this is sort of a list of its ingredients. So it's called gin. I'm under the quilt when you insist on extolling the spirit's provenance, the flourish of bog myrtle and star anise, the murmur of rowan berry and angelica root. You tell me it must be the quinine that's making me queasy, and the metronome I hear tapping is the prophylactic popping of the fuchsia. And even though I have sewn myself into the bole of a tree, I will wake naked to an oaken jacket seething on the floor. There will be rings of lichen curling around my tongue, and decades of juniper beads stuttering their rosary in my ear. And my first job was in a clothes shop, and I still get really sad when people give out to people in clothes shops in front of customers, and it happens in restaurants a lot as well. So this is called Can I Speak to You for a Second? The section I asked you to tidy still looks the same, and I know the customers can hear me saying this, and I probably could have taken you aside or to the stockroom to tell you that you're not doing a good enough job. You'll probably remember this now, or years later when you're standing in a queue at the supermarket, or idling by a table stacked high with clothes carved into slabs of cotton. You'll probably remember when someone just like me says to your right-hand side, after you've accidentally displaced four cashmere sweaters onto a mopped floor, can I just speak to you for a second? And it takes a moment for you to realize that I don't mean you, but you will still want to lose all the contours of your body, reduce to a middle finger, and feel the boundaries of your skin rend. You might try to remember a line from the Communist Manifesto and whisper in your ears, all fixed, fast, frozen relations, or instead, you might say that every one of us will become nothing but receipts printed from registers in the ground. But you pick up the sweaters and apologize. You turn the tags over like playing cards so they kiss the end of their necks. And as you clear a small space on the table, I watch how you straighten eight woolen arms under their woolen torsos. And look, look how they fill up with bodies. Thank you. I work with people who commit crimes and people who are victims of crimes. And I had a very strange period in my career where I had no office. and I had to meet people in cafes and bus stops and very strange places. And I won't explain all my poems to death, but this one is sort of, I was meeting with people who were from this city, and I was really shocked that they didn't know where most places I talked about were, or street names, or restaurant names, and yeah, it kind of made me sad, but also kind of, that there was these kind of two layers, these people passing through the city, and I didn't know the name of the streets they were walking down. So it's called The Ghouls. At days I work in the ghoul factory. I tell boys and their dead friends who formed a crust around them to behave like those who walk through them as if they were made of door instead of sky. These boys, these Lazaruses that lozenge near the outline of their bodies, are not minded to come back only to hear me tell them, no, it's not that, it's this. Here is a blade of grass inside of a building. Now run. I warn them against other more fibrous ghoul hangouts where death is smoked through cracks in the skin and bones elope into baselines. Here, knives are sharpened with stubs of chalk. Before the factory shift, I visit bakeries who do not want their freshly baked goods touched by the hands of ghouls, as if the people who ate what you made could touch you back, could weigh you up and take you home. They don't get any lighter, they just get darker and darker. So I grew up in a pretty normal estate, except for a lot of people in my state took their own lives, and in sort of 10 or 12 houses, three people took their own lives, and this made me into an incredibly morbid child, because you kind of get afraid of things appearing or things being under your bed, or but I thought all my neighbours were going to disappear, so that was my kind of phobia as a child. So I'll read those two together, and then I'll just read one or two more. So this is called Semi-Detached Symphony. The neighbours have gotten double glazing to keep the noise of other neighbours on the drive, the road, or by the electricity box at the edge of the estate. And yet the neighbours still leave their sliding doors ajar to listen for mothers smoking and sighing on backyard steps. The tall ones never remove their shoes. The smallest ones groom the grass with their feet, make gardens into killing fields where slugs and worms die to the smell of lilac and nirvana on repeat. The dogs have the warmest bodies that irradiate spots they never seem to leave until they do. The neighbours bury them here, but not the smaller tall ones, they go elsewhere. I can now tell the difference between a plum stone tossed from an open window and the stopped heart of a thrush. The neighbours have gotten blinds, neatly folded net curtains into the previous 12 years. Neighbours have bought paint to cover walls that were wallpaper before they spent summer scraping everything off. The neighbours have converted their garages, have dug off their eucalyptus and oaks. Because of subsidence, everything leaned in another direction. And this is called Three Strange Neighbours. I'll just read the first one because I haven't written the other two. He had a birthmark to the right of his right eye, and all the children stared while all the adults talked to his lips. It must have been a renewed torture to have made his way out of being a boy, only to be planted back into being 8 years old year after year, absorbing all the abstract nouns that breezed in and out of his ears and brain. After his son killed himself, the birthmark grew paler. He smelt of wine and lavender, a purple person. After his son killed himself, everyone spoke to his birthmark. Children queued with fruit baskets like condemned angels sent by their parents with plums and queen cakes because no adult wanted to see what a dead son looked like from the mouth. I'm finishing with a lighter poem. I have two more poems. This is a two poem warning. God almighty, it's like, yeah, it's cheerful, but I worked in a maximum security hospital where you pretty much have done the worst thing that you've ever done and not going to get out. And it's very unglamorous, actually, and very banal. And I became really interested in that, sort of what happens after a case is finished and someone is living their life after that. So this is called The Serial Killer's Slippers. The serial killer's slippers sat at the foot of his bed. Each time he left his room for an appointment or a visit, he would change into brogues, the storyline of those brought in another direction, for example, to the hospital shop to buy bourbons and cola, or to ask a doctor to let him go, or to beg a nurse for a mail order catalogue so that he could order copies of the same blue shirt that he adored. The slippers looked sad and the cold easy to wipe lino, and I tried to grow him from those brown velvet petals rooted there without him. When I passed his room on my way to the kitchen, I'd only seen the back of him, an outline shuffling to catch up with his cast of skin. I filled in his body in tubes, his calves, his thighs, his pillowed waist. I grew him a version of a chest. It bloomed out of the stalk of what I was making of him, of what I was making of him, and where his face fell, I placed a rose. Sorry, I have two poems left, sorry. So this is a German word, Wiedervereinigung, and it's the word that meant that when the wall came down and Germany reunified. And German's really cool like that, you can just put words together. You don't pass exams doing that, as I found out, but I just made up words all the time. But yeah, you can put words together and make new ones. So this is called Wiedervereinigung. I became really interested in, I could be wrong, but in Latin languages you always ask for a fire when you ask for a light when you smoke. And I just became interested why we're the only language I think that says, do you have a light? Because light and fire are the different things. So, Wiedervereinigung. You're probably really glad I told you light and fire are different names. great to get that clarification. Wiedervereinigung. We walk Berlin pointing at history as if it were a flower bloomed early for our visit. Our pockets loose or dead elsewhere in thin-lipped fields and quarries thatched with petrol. We are so proud of our ability to separate that I let go of you in all the somber places. We reunite by two Italians kissing on Unter den Linden. They're sprawled on a bench and a man taps his Coke bottle against their feet as he passes, says those are not beds. And when I turn, their bodies are just like our bodies. And when they see us smoking, their mouths ask, hast du licht, when it should be Feuer. Mm. And the last poem is about a little visitor we had for 6 months. He was a mouse. And my initial reaction was, it was everyone that you look for the poison and the trap or whatever. And then I became really, sad, but like, why do I want this mouse dead? So we just let him kind of hang out anyway. So he subsequently immigrated to the next life.
My house.
So this is called Mouse. The small brown globe of you orbits the square of our bed. You're grateful for clouds of polyester, shrubs of dirty towels that stretch like bones towards the sun. You needle your torso through golden panels of oak, and I will never see you again, but will always hover my feet a second longer before folding my toes to the ground. Every noise I cannot origin is yours, a small whiskered oar weaving through wall cavities, patting the spines of our books with your tail. You want nothing we have, except maybe a thimble trove of crumbs or a smear of butter left on a knife in the sink. One night I cup you in my palms, and your body a finger rib of fur that we somehow want dead. I drop you like a marble to the floor, and the air swallows you whole like a snake. Thank you.